Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Viking Age podcast. It's the official podcast of thevikingage.com. My name is Chris Shad. I write for the Viking Age Zone Coverage, Bring Me the News, and the Brookings Register. And we do this every Monday with a late week episode right here on the Viking Age YouTube channel. We're also in podcast form on Apple and Spotify the very next day. But however you consume us, make sure you rate, comment, like, and subscribe so you never miss a new episode and we can spread the word to the masses. Today's guest, he is the managing editor of the Vikings Wire and the Run and Shooter. You can hear him on the Real Forno Show as part of the First in School Network, Score North, and the Good, Bad, and the Hungy. That is a wrestling podcast, in case you were wondering. And he is Vikings Twitter's favorite fry cook, Tyler Fornes. Tyler, how does it feel to have Kwesi Adofo-Mensah challenge you about the, you know, the title? Of top cook in the Vikings universe?
Listen, I did it for 10 years before I got into media. He can try.
Nobody cooks fries like Tyler Fornes.
I can do a lot more than that. I started as a fry cook. I got more up my sleeve.
That is true. Hey, you know, as I was getting ready for this podcast, I was thinking about it this way, like this offseason so far, I know we're only technically a week into it since Kirk Cousins decided to go get the bag in Atlanta. Like, I'm rejuvenated. I'm ready to go. I want to talk everything with the draft. I want to talk quarterbacks. I want to talk, you know, what paths they might take. Are you rejuvenated as well when it comes to talking about this team, especially over the last couple of weeks?
No, not really. it's a breath of fresh air, but it's something I've been kind of clamoring for a couple of years. And it's nice to see, but rejuvenated, I don't necessarily think is the right word. I think it's a breath of fresh air to be talking about something different. But I've been proven right that my opinion was I guess maybe we won't be 100% sure that it was the right way to go, but that the team agreed with me. And it still stinks that you lost a guy like Danielle Hunter, but I think Jonathan Gardner's a better fit, even though Hunter's a clearly better player. So I'm kind of intrigued to see how, with Brian Flores bringing in a lot of guys that he wants, how that's going to change the defense.
Yeah, and I mean, you look at the defense and all the moves they were able to make. I think part of my excitement was that Kirk Cousins did leave, because honestly, in my opinion, I thought they were going to do something stupid and give him, I don't know, 4 years, $180 million, something in that neighborhood. Like, if the Vikings had done that and given Kirk Cousins that contract, we're probably sitting here going like, well, you know, we can restructure some contracts. We can get people going here and there. You know, maybe we can get an edge rusher in the third round. Like, it just would not be as much fun as we're having right now, talking about trade scenarios and all of those mm-hmm. things. So I think that's kind of where I'm at, is just, you know, it's a whole new universe. It's a whole new world of possibilities. Just, I feel like the Zach Galifianakis gif where he's got all the equations and stuff going back and forth. And it's just like, they have so many options now.
is the Joker and the Thief also playing in the background? Because you got to have the pair. You got to have the combination.
I suppose. I think now that you meant, I mean, it, the volume probably just got turned up now that you mentioned it.
And there you go.
And we just got Wolf Mother going to town. Let's talk about the Vikings plans in the draft, because it seems like they are cooking. Early theme of the podcast, I guess. But the Vikings have two first round picks. They have the number 11th and the number 23rd overall picks. Nobody expects them to use either of them right now because they want a quarterback. Everybody knows they want a quarterback, and it's out there in the universe. So what would you put percentage wise on the Vikings making a trade up in the draft to go get their signal caller of the future?
75%. Hold on. No, 90%. That's what I gave it on my Purple Daily appearance on Tuesday. Here's the thing. Somebody's got to say yes. And like, remember in middle school when you wanted to ask out a girl and you're just fretting over it and stressing, and then you go do it and you're like, all right, I finally did it. Finally got up the courage to go ask her out. Well, it doesn't matter how much courage you have and how much you want it. She still has to say yes. And that's kind of where we're at, I think, with the Minnesota Vikings. They want to trade up. They want to go get that quarterback. Somebody still got to say yes to the trade offer and allow you to go and do that. I think by getting extra capital this year, because the idea is like a bird in the hand is better than two in the bush, like that old adage. And when you talk about assets, current assets are better than future assets. So the idea with like the Rich Hill trade chart is a first round pick this year is worth a round better than a first round pick next year, which that next year's first round pick is valued at a second. And then in 2 years, it's valued at a third. So the idea being it's better to have an asset now than later because you know what it is, you know, it's tangible and you know what you can possibly get with it, where future years, the draft classes are going to be so varied, you just don't know. And you're not 100% sure how that's going to impact things. So having that first round pick this year is going to be big. Plus, there's a lot of talent between like 10 and 25. So having pick 23, you're going to get a really good player. Likely could be a starter for you year one and then develop into something more down the line. That's going to be a hell of a lot more appealing for a team like the Chargers, Patriots, maybe even the Cardinals, even though teams don't often like to have three first round picks because then it can make things challenging when trying to like extend all of them at once. But getting those assets and being telling them, hey, you can make two first round picks this year and help your rebuild go significantly quicker, and we get our quarterback, that's a lot more enticing than, oh, you have to wait a year for the next one.
What do you think is the clearest path for the Vikings to trade up?
Five. The Chargers, they want to trade back. They want to get more assets. They want to be able to build this thing out. They did restructure both Joey Bosa and Khalil Mack. Mack even took a pay cut to stay. And when you look at that, and then they cut both Mike Williams and then traded Keenan Allen, they need to do a lot of work to be able to fortify that offense and defense to make it into what Jim Harbaugh wants it to be. So they are going to want to trade back. And I think it's clearer for the Vikings because it will cost less. Now, like the Rich Hill trade chart is going to say that the Vikings should give up 11, 23, and I think 129 to get 5 and 37. There's no way that the Chargers are going to give you 37 to make that trade. But that's where reality versus trade charts kind of comes into play. I think 11 and 23 gets done pretty easy. Maybe you get like a fifth rounder back to kind of ease the pain a little bit. But day three picks this year are not very valuable because there just isn't a lot of depth in this draft due to COVID and NIL being so prevalent, because guys aren't wanting to leave when they can make $1 million to stay in school. And in the NFL, they'll make $1 million year one. Well, why don't I just take that and then maybe improve my draft stock and then I can make $3 million in year one? So to kind of wrap it all up, I do think that the Chargers are the easiest and clearest path. But what do the Cardinals do? They're open for business. Do they want to trade back? And if they do trade back and it's not with the Vikings, that could spell disaster. So they're going to have to play their cards right. They're going to have conversations consistently with New England, with Arizona. And if they get left out in the dust, it's going to get really, really weird for the Vikings.
Here's what I wonder. When we're talking about pick five, Jim Harbaugh said that by the end of this process, J.J. McCarthy would be the number one overall pick in this draft. If this all plays out, let's say Caleb Williams at one, Jaden Daniels at two, Patriots say, screw you, we're taking Drake May at three. Cardinals are saying, we want Marvin Harrison Jr. at four. Is there a chance where maybe Jim Harbaugh goes, okay, my window to win isn't right away, but But if I take JJ McCarthy, have Justin Herbert play a couple years, ship Herbert out, get more picks, and build around McCarthy, you think that's far-fetched, or could there be something to that? Because I think if the Vikings call the Chargers, there's a chance Jim Harbaugh says, nah, I want my guy. He's the best player in this draft. I'm taking JJ McCarthy.
I understand the thought process. I understand the link, especially with all of Jim Harbaugh's comments. I think it's a 0.1% chance at best. I really don't think it's plausible or logical. Herbert is that guy. He's really good. And the cap hits to get rid of him are astronomical. So I really see it as almost a zero possibility. But with Jim Harbaugh, never say never, I guess. But I just don't see it.
Okay. So let's take things a step further. Let's say the Vikings get into the top five. And hypothetical, let's say they do get up to three. Drake May has a ton of connections. Alec Lewis had this big article at The Athletic, basically said Josh McCown knows Drake May pretty well. You also have JJ McCarthy, who said a lot of superlatives about the Vikings organization at the combine. If it comes down to those two quarterbacks, are you trading up for Drake May or are you trading up for JJ McCarthy in that situation?
I think the Vikings will end up agreeing with my assessment, and I would trade up for Drake May. And to me, it wouldn't even be a second thought. It's not that I don't think McCarthy's good. I do think McCarthy is good. And his ceiling in the NFL is going to be a lot higher than what we saw in college just because of what he was asked to do at Michigan. He wasn't asked to do a lot. That's not his fault. That's just how Jim Harbaugh wants to play football. He did it with Alex Smith. He did it with Colin Kaepernick. Hell, he did the same with Andrew Luck. And Andrew Luck was a generational prospect at quarterback. And then he proved it in the NFL. So I don't blame McCarthy for the limited production. I really don't think it's that big of an issue. But when I look at the two prospects, I think May is a superior one. He is he's more of a prototypical build. McCarthy's not small, but I think May having those couple extra inches, how he plays the game, you have to work on some footwork stuff, but it's weird footwork stuff. Quick game, crisp, clean, no issues. After quick game, he can get a little loosey-goosey. He can get a little, hey, I'm going to play a little outside of my brain, and things can go awry. But you can fix that in an offseason. You can drill footwork. You can drill seven-step drops. And hey, once you hit your peak, you can hitch a little bit, but then you have to fire the football. His issue is his eyes and his feet are out of sync. So if he sees something, his feet aren't ready to throw the football. So then he's trying to throw off platform, and with his feet not in rhythm with his upper body. So that causes erratic throws. And then that causes some turnovers. He did have 35 big time throws last year, second in the NCAA, and only 10 turnover worthy plays. A 3.5-1 ratio is really, really good. There's only one quarterback who's ever had higher than that in the National Football League. That's Tom Brady. Patrick Mahomes might be higher than that at this point, but because of the last 2 years and how defenses have really shifted to play him, that might have changed. So I might be corrected on that, but I love what May brings to the table. He's also great at running the football. He can create outside of structure, even though he doesn't necessarily want to. He is good at it. Caleb Williams is much more willing and more wants to create and make that big play. May did it because he had to, but he was good at it. And I think when you put him with a much better supporting cast around him in the NFL, because at North Carolina, he didn't have it. He didn't have a good offensive line. He had a good receiver last year in Josh Downs. Devontae Walker played half a year. Bryson Nesbitt's a good tight end, but he's not great. Marion Hampton's going to be a potential day two running back. Had almost 1,500 yards rushing last year, but that offensive structure stinks. Receivers aren't coming back to play the football in scramble drills when that's kind of what they teach you in the NFL. They're almost like blocking, thinking he's just going to run with it. He was not in a great situation in North Carolina and still played really, really well. I'm sticking with Drake May. He's the second ranked player on my board, overall in my top quarterback. I don't see that changing. He is that good. And I think people have gotten a little bit of prospect fatigue and just lost touch of some of his surroundings and the context of why there were struggles.
It's like this is the time of the year, especially for me, where I need to take a week off. Obviously people who scout can't do that, but it's like as a normal fan, the mock drafts and everything else get so bogged down because you've been looking at the same prospects, the same tape and mm-hmm. everything else for the past you know, 2 or 3 months or even more if you watch during the season. If the Vikings wind up with JJ McCarthy, is he a fit for their offense?
100% he's a fit. And I think he and May are far and away the best fits for this offense. I don't think Williams and Daniels are bad fits. I just think their skill sets are less conducive to what Kevin O'Connell wants, because O'Connell wants the in-structure play first. And while they're both good in structure, I think May and McCarthy are more on the closer to the great side in structure. And that is going to translate one-to-one with what Kevin O'Connell wants to do. Plus, they throw over the middle. Caleb Williams doesn't throw over the middle a lot, and Jaden Daniels certainly doesn't. His favorite route is slot fade, and Malik Nabers had like 60% of his production on slot fades alone. So when you just kind of look at how their play styles and what O'Connell wants to do, he wants somebody to dominate from the pocket but can create if he has to. And to me, that's McCarthy and May all day.
Last quarterback question that I'll ask you here. If the Vikings don't take a quarterback in the top five, or they, like you said, it's maybe a doomsday scenario where nobody wants to trade with.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Them. If they take guys at 11 and 23, is that a disaster scenario, or can the Vikings use those picks to kind of bolster this roster and continue to build that infrastructure?
Look, it's not a great scenario. You want to be able to get that quarterback. And I do think that there's a chance that they really like Michael Penix. I can't see a world where they like Bo Nix. I think Bo Nix is a nice guy. I talked to him in Mobile. He seems just like a good dude. The player, I hate him. I hate Bo Nix. I hate watching him play. I hate how he has to win because of the limitations. And I just don't see the Vikings being enamored with that, despite like, oh, Kevin O'Connell wants accuracy. Yeah, well, that's great, but you still have to have other things with your game too. So if they really like Michael Penix Jr., then 23 makes some sense. I mean, I don't necessarily love it, but Michael Penix Jr. is like, I think 0.1 behind JJ McCarthy on my board. So like, I can live with that. But if you don't go quarterback at all, it's going to feel more of a doomsday thing. And then you have Sam Darnold, who has a lot of talent, but has never been able to piece it together for a lot of different reasons. But the main reason you can probably point to is he's had really bad supporting cast. Well, now he's had a great one. So how does that change things? Does he take that Baker Mayfield year and thrive, and then the Vikings give him an extension? That there's a non-zero chance that happens. I'm not saying it should, would, or I would want it to, but you have to at least keep your mind open to that possibility that it's a thing, because situation matters so much for quarterbacks, which is why it's so exciting. The Vikings might get one in the NFL draft because we have such a great situation. But if you end up keeping 11-23 and you just get two really good football players, it's not the end of the world, but it's certainly going to be frustrating.
Well, speaking of that supporting cast, one of the main characters is Justin Jefferson, and he's going to be in the spotlight because he is a star in Netflix's new docuseries, Receiver. This is the sequel to Quarterback, the docuseries that came out last year that featured Kirk Cousins. Other players set to be featured include San Francisco's Debo Samuel, George Kittle, Detroit's Amon-Ra St. Brown, Las Vegas's Davante Adams. They tried to do another quarterback too, but everybody kind of took the Arch Manning route. Just like, no, focus on football, whatever. Even though, you know, I'll ask you this. Do you think Justin Jefferson saw the result that Kirk Cousins got from being on quarterback and like, dude, if I do this, I'm going to get paid. Like, this is going to be, let's do this. Yeah. Follow me around. This is great. Let's see what happens.
I'm going to be honest. I don't really see that as a one-to-one, because he already had to have said yes before the Kirk Cousins even got that contract. I think Jefferson said yes because he wanted to do it. And I think it'll be interesting. And I'm really fascinated about Jefferson because he was hurt. I want to see an NFL player go through rehab and how they structure their days and how they structure the healing process. To me, that's fascinating. And I could care less about the other guys. I think you're going to get some really cool insight, especially that Lions locker room and how things are going up in Detroit. I think you're going to get a lot of really cool stuff. But personally, I think the healing process for Jefferson, how they structure it, could be really, really cool. And I like that idea a lot. I think Jefferson just said yes because he wanted to. And hell, that you probably got a bunch of money for it. Good for him.
Yeah, and that might be the other thing that might be some. Obviously, they're not going to be like in negotiating rooms or anything like that, but maybe there is some insight to how close the Vikings came to signing a contract right before the 10th hour. Maybe, I mean, I don't know what they could show. I really don't, but maybe, you know, they can look into it and be like, oh, he was just pissed off because they were losing, or oh, he was pissed off because things weren't going. I mean, this is the most adversity that Justin Jefferson has had in his career. So I mean, I don't know. Do we watch it and we see Justin Jefferson freak out and be like, oh, so that's why he wants out of Minnesota? I mean, do you think the Justin Jefferson thing gets resolved here in the next couple of weeks, or where do you think we go with that?
I think it comes down to what we found out earlier in the offseason. Jefferson just wants to know what the plan is, and he wants to be included in that plan. And included is a very loose term because some guys just want to be heard. Some guys actually want to help make the decision. Some guys just want to be told what's going on so they're in the loop. So whatever that means to Justin Jefferson, as long as that's happening, I think that's an objectively good thing. And then once he knows the plan, he'll feel comfortable and then he'll sign the big deal. Like, he's left no indication that he wants to leave. And I think people are trying to fabricate it because, look, it's Minnesota. Minnesota is not a sexy market for television. It's not a sexy market to drive ratings and make money for like all these national platforms. You know where it does? Chicago, New York, Los Angeles. Like, those are the markets that they want those big name players to go to because it makes more money in those markets. And I think Jefferson and the Vikings will get things done. They were nearly done last September with an extension. And I think it'll end up being like $33, $34 million a year average annual value. Kwesi Adofo-Mensah will find a way to structure it in a very team-friendly way while paying the player everything he's worth. And that's why we have Rob Brzezinski. He's the best in the business. So I'm not worried about him at all.
The Simone Biles of cap gymnastics, Rob Brzezinski. But I mean, you got to think of the creators here. Because like every time I open up the old TikTok or Instagram, it's like, hey, this is top five just place Justin Jefferson. We're going to trade him to the Chiefs. We're going to ship a sixth rounder in 2027 and a third rounder in 2028. And we're going to get Justin Jefferson, pair him with Patrick Mahomes because I think it's the best. Like, every trade proposal that I have heard with the Vikings trading up into the top five, it's like they're just sneaking Justin Jefferson. Yeah, you know, it's a pretty fair trade. You know, you get 11, you get 23. Oh, yeah, and give us Justin Jefferson. I'm sure that'll tip the scales. It's like, what? Like, got to get those clicks, right?
No. Listen, with my job, I have to do aggregation. It's part of the gig. But there's some stuff that I'm just like, you know what? I don't even care if it gets me a bunch of views. It's too lowbrow. I'm not even engaging because it's just like I have standards. And the fan trades are arguably my least favorite thing on social media because they don't understand how things work. They're always lopsided and very rarely are they actually fair. And it just drives me absolutely bonkers. I don't care about the content creators. Find original content. Write something interesting. Talk about something interesting. You don't have to just be like, hey, I saw Bozo McGee say a third and a sixth round pick for Justin Jefferson, so I'm going to write about it. Oh, but Antonio Brown went for a third and a fifth. Why did Antonio Brown go for a third and a fifth? Answer that question. And you'll know why that's absurd for Jefferson. I don't care about the content creators. Be original.
Because he was insane. That's why Antonio Brown, like Justin Jefferson,
he tried painting a helmet.
Yes. Yes. He tried painting his. I forgot about that. Yeah. Antonio Brown, Oakland Raider, Antonio Brown. I forgot about that entire area. He didn't play a game, did he? Like,
no,
he never hit the field.
Gave up like $17, $18 million because he went on that helmet tirade. Can't make it up.
One of the game's unique characters. Closing things out a little bit. we're going to talk about some news and notes here. Vikings signed a couple of guys, adding some guys to the room. Shaquille Griffin, he signed on Tuesday. We're recording this on Wednesday night. He agreed to a one-year deal worth $6 million, 79 career starts between Seattle, Jacksonville, Carolina, and Houston, but three of those teams have been in the last three seasons. So is this a good signing for the Vikings defense?
I think it's fine. I think he's a guy who's like a fringe CB2-3, maybe a CB4. You bring him in. And when it was announced, it was like worth up to $6 million. I think that's doing a lot of work. I think a lot of it has to do with playing time and stat incentives. And look, I think there's still something you can extract from Griffin. He's 28 years old. He's a smart guy. I don't think Odie likes it very much. He's starting to whine over there. But I think it's fine. It's not sexy. It's not great. But I think he can be a good depth piece in a cornerback room that needs to be fortified a little bit because there's a lot of youth.
The other signing for the Vikings, as of yesterday, there are two more that dropped. So we got Jonah Williams, a defensive lineman, not to be confused with the offensive lineman who plays with the Cincinnati Bengals. I believe he re-signed a couple weeks ago. Cardinals?
The Cardinals.
Cardinals. Okay. I knew he had signed. I didn't know if it was the Bengals or not, but, this Jonah Williams, career high two sacks last year, signed by the Rams when Kevin O'Connell was there in 2021. He turns 29 in August. Vikings need bodies. Seems okay, right?
He's a fringe roster guy. I asked a buddy of mine who does a lot of film work, and he's a big Rams fan. I'm like, so what do you think of Jonah Williams? He's like, hey, you know Dean Lowry? Yeah, he's a Dean Lowry-esque player, so... You're probably not getting a lot of upside out of it.
Guy that's just there. Like Dean Lowry still, like when Dean Lowry got released, it was kind of like, oh, I thought they did that in training camp. That's wild. But it takes all kinds, I guess.
Yeah.
A couple more interesting signings happening today. Jihad Ward from, and I might have just butchered the first name there, but Jihad Ward had five sacks with the Giants last year. He signs, and then I might butcher this as well. I apologize in advance. Kamu Groiger Hill. Is that correct?
I think it's Groiger Hill.
Groiger Hill.
I think. I don't know.
Yeah, he's a linebacker type guy. Mm-hmm. What do you I mean, Ward seems like an intriguing signing. A little bit of upside there. Groiger Hill. I don't know. What do you think?
They're depth signings. And I think they're objectively fine. I don't think they're great. Ward is probably going to be your edge three or four. Groiger Hill is going to probably be linebacker three or four and a core special teams guy. Like, good depth. And you need to have good depth players. I don't think, like, if they have to start, I think that's objectively bad. But you're not signing depth guys because you want them to start. You're signing depth guys because they can be good enough in a rotation. And I think both guys would be, they're fine. They're probably at vet minimum and nothing wrong with that.
So that is all the news and notes we have for today. Hey, what's going on at the Vikings Wire, Run and Shooter, and all those endeavors you got going on right now, man?
Yeah, I'm a little bit of a psychopath. It's draft season, so I'm in the process of watching a bunch of offensive linemen right now. I'm probably going to flip on tape of one here in a little bit. Vikings Wire, just trying to get as much good stuff out there. I just wrote about the quarterback tax, tried to quantify it a little bit. I don't believe there is a quarterback tax, like officially, like when I looked at the last 13 years of trades, teams trading down actually gave up like points that I think it was worth like a mid second round pick, and teams trading like I just don't think there's a quarterback tax. I think I compared it to, I'm kind of jumbling my words up here a little bit, but I compared it to other trades into the top 10 that didn't involve a quarterback, and the difference was pretty minimal. So I really don't see there being a true quarterback tax, even though it feels like there is one. But there's so many variables that I just didn't include because I'm just like, I'm just gonna do this in a vacuum. I'm gonna do the trade, the points, and then we're gonna call it a day, because there's, you could investigate one angle and then like another angle that you can't have access to because of what's going on in league circles, like could just cancel everything out. So I'm just like, in a vacuum, what does the trade chart say? Trade chart said there wasn't one. I've been doing a lot of team mock drafts where I pick a theme and then I explore that theme and what that would look like. I just did one of the doomsday scenario where the Vikings don't get a quarterback. They can't trade up and they have to pick at 11 and 23. They end up with Terry and Arnold and Chop Robinson. I'd be pretty happy with that haul. But we're just trying to do a bunch of that stuff. Obviously, talk about the news and notes, what's going on with the Minnesota Vikings and Real 4-0 show on Vikings First and Skull. We've been in a YouTube channel for just over a year. We're almost at 3,400 subscribers. And then I got Purple Daily on Draft with Score North. I'll be at the Score North Draft Party on Thursday the 25th at the Fillmore. It'll be a lot of fun. Like, this is crunch time right now. It's a lot of fun, but man, is it a lot of work. And I need a vacation.
And where can people follow you with all of your endeavors there, 4-0?
Absolutely. You can follow me on Twitter at The Real 4-0. I got a really cool picture of me watching film and my dog, Odie, who's a little French bulldog. He's almost two. He's got his feet on my legs and he's watching with me. Unfortunately, he's watching Iowa State film, but he's watching. I know. Yeah. I know it's Iowa State film, but he was watching and he was watching intently and he's actually laying down next to me right now like a good boy. But yeah, it's crunch time. We're grinding away and trying to get as much interesting stuff for everybody out there to have all the information they need going into the draft.
Well, thanks for coming on today, Tyler. We appreciate the time, but that's all the time we have for the Viking Age podcast today. We do this every Monday with a late week episode right here on the Viking Age YouTube channel. We're in podcast form on Apple and Spotify the very next day. But however you consume us, make sure you rate, comment, like, and subscribe so you never miss a new episode and we can spread the word to the masses. For Tyler Fornes, I am Chris Shad. You can follow me at The Real Chris Shad. And this has been the Viking Age Podcast.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.